To be reminded of his ways as we go on in our lives. Let us turn this morning to the 8th chapter of Ezra. Ezra chapter 8. And verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. I want to speak this morning on God's way. As we read here in verse 21, to seek of him a right way for us. I want to notice this for the idea, for the fact that God's way is absolutely opposed and contrary to man's way. Hebrews 3:10, the Apostle Paul quotes from Psalm 95 as he says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. We remember, of course, from our very basic scriptures from Sunday school, Jesus gave forth the Sermon on the Mount, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Then we find these words from the book of Judges. They are repeated 4 times in this book. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And then Solomon adds these words, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then Isaiah sums up this difference in the thoughts and reasonings and actions of men and the ways of men as being contrasted with the way of God. Isaiah says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And let us also understand an absolute fact that our ways will always follow our thoughts. Today, I want to see four major principles or four major pillars in regards to God's way, or indeed walking in God's way. We see the first one here in verse 21, and that is that we may seek of Him a right way. I also want to notice in these examples that they all are surrounded with crisis. God often demonstrates His way in time of crisis. The context here in this book, in this chapter, lies in the fact that 78 years earlier, a man by the name of Zerubbabel had been sent back to Jerusalem with the Jews after the 70-year captivity was over. They were charged with rebuilding the temple, and they did that. That task is complete. Now, these 78 years later, the king is sending forth Ezra, and he has been charged to set up magistrates and judges and teach the laws of God to such as know them not. You'll find that in chapter 7, 25. And it means that he was charged with setting up a godly government after he got back to Jerusalem. And thus we read, we also find out that Ezra had a great amount of money, gold and precious things that the king had given unto the temple in Jerusalem. That's why he is seeking God, as we find out here in verse 21. "We would seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance." Ezra indeed has refused to take the guard of the king, saying that our God is going to protect us and He will see to it. And so it is the reason that he fasted and he besought the Lord for this. You will notice again in verse 21, "I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava." The word Ahava means "I will exist" or "I will subsist." And it shows our existence in Christ. He is this river of life that we seek. And this is what we want to notice about all of these things that we will see about the way of the Lord. And they all center around the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way of God. And so Ezra gathers all of these to fast and to pray and to believe God that He would show unto them indeed a right way. You will notice here in verse 23, "We fasted and besought our God for this. He was entreated of us." And then we find out in verse 31, "We departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go into Jerusalem. The hand of our God was upon us. He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days." And so we might say mission accomplished, and indeed it was. God had done exactly what they asked him for, but if you'll remember, the king had charged him to teach the people, to set up this government, and to instruct them in the way of the Lord. We'll not read these remaining two chapters of Ezra, but Ezra discovered there was a great problem here in Jerusalem. beginning with the priesthood and those in authority and stretching on down through the rest of the congregation, they had taken strange wives. They married women that God said, you shall not take of them, and you don't give your daughters unto their sons. They had done that, and when Ezra found out about it, he was just grieved. He was so burdened. He really went into somewhat of a state of mourning, so to speak, because this indeed had happened. If you go through these last two chapters, we find out that they made a covenant with God that they would put away these wives. And they make it very clear that children had been born to some of those wives, and indeed they must be put away also. They must follow the way of the Lord. Can you imagine the public outcry of something like this in our day when they are instructed to put away their wives and their children? It is so important for us to understand in this day that we too must follow the way of the Lord rather than the way of public opinion. We must indeed understand what God says. Casting people out of the nation of Israel is not new. God instructed Abraham, you cast out the bondwoman and her son. And that is exactly what Abraham did. We know from history that God took care of Hagar. God took care of Ishmael. God wanted them to trust him, but they didn't. Yet God still defended them and took care of them. This book of Ezra ends very abruptly. It doesn't say what happened to these wives and children, but we are absolutely assured on the authority of God's word. If they had called upon him, then he would indeed have taken care of them. This is who he is. But Israel's responsibility was to make a covenant with God that they would put away these wives and these children, which is exactly what they did. The conclusion of this matter is that if we are going to walk in God's way, we must seek God's right way. It is something that we must pursue. It doesn't always just fall into our lap, so to speak. We must seek the way of the Lord very actively. Ezra thought it was so important that he actually gathered them together to fast and to pray in order that this would come about. And that may be exactly the way that God would lead us in certain times of crisis situation, as we indeed have seen down through the years. The next pillar I want to see is in 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter. 1 Samuel 12. And once again, we really come to a crisis situation. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 23, we read, Samuel is speaking and he says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. The problem here is that Israel has chosen to replace Samuel with a king. We read in another place that God says he was very displeased with that. God says, I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. The king in question was Saul, the one that was over them at that time. I think every one of us can identify with Samuel. He was quite elderly at this time, but he had faithfully led the children of Israel all these years. And now then he was being replaced. He did take it personal. And God had to come to him and encourage his heart. And he said, Samuel, you have to understand They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me, that I should not reign over them. But nevertheless, Samuel did take it personally, even as every one of us would have. The good news is that Samuel didn't give in to his own personal feelings. And that's why he said, as the people came to him and wanted his intervention, wanted his intercession for them, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord." Had he followed his own personal desire, his own personal inclination, he called it sinning against the Lord and said, "I refuse to do that." So he set aside his own ideas. He set aside his own desires. And indeed, he said this: "I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." This is exactly what Ezra was charged to do. Teach the people the good and the right way. Samuel is saying exactly the same thing, and this is what we must understand in this second pillar of wondering and wanting to walk in the way of the Lord. Every one of us must be instructed in it. It doesn't just happen automatically. It doesn't just magically appear. There must be a desire in our own heart to learn the way of the Lord and indeed be willing to accept the way of the Lord in our own experience. There is no substitute for learning the way which God would have us go. And we're not in the dark in that. We haven't been left without instruction in it. God has left the wonders of His Word in order that we might know and clearly understand what the way of the Lord is, what the good and the right way is. And so Samuel was faithful to teach that good and that right way, and indeed such a way comes only from God. The third pillar is in Exodus 33. And once again, we are confronted with great crisis, as we have seen in all of these. Exodus 33 and verse 15. Verse 13. "And now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." This third one is, "Show me now thy way, that I may know thee." God has a purpose in our following His way. Now, we know at the outset that the purpose of this was, of course, to intercede for the nation of Israel. Go back a chapter, you find that while Moses was up in the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, Israel was down at the foot of that mountain breaking the first one. They were bowing down to the golden calf. God was furious. Moses was furious. God was so furious with them that He says in Exodus 32:10, when Moses approached Him about the matter, He said, "Now therefore, let me alone." God is saying this to Moses: "Let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. I will make of thee a great nation." God could have fulfilled the Abrahamic covenant in Moses. He could have wiped out that entire nation of Israel and developed the nation of Moses. Moses refused to accept that. And here we find that Moses begins to intercede. So that was certainly a purpose of walking in the way of the Lord. But I want to apply it to our lives especially. I would bring it down to our day, to our own experience and the things that surround us in such a manner as they do today. Because you will notice, Moses says here, that I may know thee. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee. You and I may be called on to earnestly intercede for other people. We are inundated with prayer requests from so many places. And these are not to be dismissed. They are not to just be cast aside. We must, beloved, actively pray and intercede for these who are in such dire need. And that is important. But I also want to understand this. As we are praying for others, as we are calling on the Lord for the many things that we pray about today, one of the great underlying purposes in that, show me now thy way that I may know thee. One of the purposes of walking in the way of the Lord is to know Him. And this is exactly what Moses learned. He became intimately acquainted with the Lord. And again, it really must become personal. Moses did discover God's way of divine grace in all of this. This is a great revelation to this man. He who had been used to give forth the law, he knew the depths of God's grace that had to prevail in order for Israel to survive even beyond the first day. And that continued. And his knowledge, his intimate knowledge, knowing God also increased. If you go over to the book of Numbers, when they rose up against Moses, God basically told him, you leave that man alone. I speak to prophets in visions and dreams, but Moses is not so. I'm going to speak to him mouth to mouth, even apparently or clearly. We surely do find that Moses saw God in plain view, so to speak. And so God answered his prayer. Show me now thy way that I may know thee. This is exactly the reason that we need to be following and walking in this way of God in order that we too might know him intimately. Number 4 is found in Job, the 23rd chapter. Job 23. Once again, crisis comes to the fore. And so we find in Job 23 and in verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. This fourth pillar is choice. First, we see it as God's choice for us. Verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. How did God know that way? Because it was God who chose it in the first place. If you go back to the beginning of this book, there are many who try to find something wrong with Job. Why he went through what he did. Oh, Job, if you'd only been a little more careful, you wouldn't have had to go through this. That's not so. God himself told Satan, you moved me against him without cause. Let us understand it was God himself who chose this path for Job. Let us also understand that God has chosen many, many paths for others down through the years, even for us. Let us also understand that does not mean that he sovereignly comes down and makes things happen that way, that he forces us to go in a certain way, because he doesn't. The path was God's choice. For Job. But notice this. He knows the way I take. Job had to choose God's choice for him. It was up to Job whether he walked in that or not. Again, go back to the second chapter of Job, as he said to his wife, "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not also receive evil? Shall we not also accept this choice that God..." We are very, very acceptant. We really accept things when it's wonderful blessing and glory that God would heap on us. Must we not also choose to accept when he brings this path our way? And so I say to us today, we must choose to walk in the way of the Lord. And notice what that path was. He knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. The path that God chose for Job was one of trial and adversity and difficulty. If you read through this book, we find the depths of all of that. And yet, here in this 23rd chapter, Job is still saying, he knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. This takes us back to the river of Ahava. I shall exist. As I said in the beginning, all the ways of God are centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a path standing in front of you that is not centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, you probably better not take it. Every path that God ordains for us is centered around Jesus. And so Job says this, "When I am tried, I shall come forth as gold." That's the gold or the life of deity, that God is using every effort and measure he has in order to bring forth that life in very practical response to everything that happens in our lives. It is the life of the Lord Jesus that God wants to see on display in my life. And that happens as we indeed choose the way of the Lord, exactly as Job did. I want to close with this same glorious truth. You can turn there if you like, for it's 1 Corinthians 4:17. Paul says it this way, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance," you can underline it, "of my ways which be in Christ." Paul says, as I teach everywhere in every church, Paul, like all these others that we have seen, taught the way of the Lord. He taught the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught the way of gold coming forth in his own life and in ours. He set that example before them, both in word and in deed. And so he sent Timothy down to remind them not only of what he said, but of my ways which be in Christ. He lived the way of the Lord before them and wanted them to be reminded of such things at this time. We also found that Moses understood because of the way that he went. "Show me now thy way that I may know thee." He learned the way of God, the God of all grace. Again, the purpose of walking in the way of the Lord. And so today, you and I must learn, and we must know in no uncertain terms this same message as Ezra and Samuel and Moses and Job, and indeed Paul, the chief apostle to the church. We must be willing to understand and to know the ways which be in Christ Jesus.